Guys are really soaking wet this morning. I think I gave some people high fives and I got wet. So I just want to welcome you to Seattle Chinese Alliance Church. You know, Labor Day weekend officially marks the end of summer. And what a summer it has been for Julie and I. We are extremely tired. We had a lot of activities. And you know, it's sometimes it's just good to watch the students go back to school and say, yeah. Yeah, now you're busy focused on other things. So praise God for that. Well, it also means we are starting a new year. And a new year of ministry in all of our respective youth groups and our career groups. And so we're super excited. We have so many things planned. And, you know, beginning of the year is always kind of funny because we have all these dreams and hopes and desires. And then we realize, man, you know, it's going to take a lot just get to the end. So we need God more than ever. But anyways, before we start this morning, I just want to do something I've been wanting to do for a long time. And that's to recognize the men and women in our congregation here who have poured so much of their lives into serving in these respective ministries. And they never get any kind of recognition. I mean, students come and go, and you know, but these guys are the heartbeat of our ministry. So what I wanted to do is I want to call your names, and once you do, you know, I want you to just stand up and come on up, and I invite Pastor Roy to come on up. We also want to just appreciate you with a simple gift of reading. So I know what kind of gift is that, right? So we got you a book, and we want you to read it, and I hope that God will really use it. Okay, so I want to begin, first of all, by just recognizing several what I call outgoing brothers and sisters. And what that means is that they're stepping down for a bit, hopefully not for a long time. But the two people that I want to recognize today, and I don't know if they're both here, but yeah, they are. They're sitting in the back. Okay, so from our Challengers ministry, I want to just want to recognize Sherry Ng. Sherry Ng, come on up, Sherry. All right. Sherry has for the last six years, I've been the mother of Challengers Ministry. You can stay right up here, okay? And then the next person I want to recognize is Rick, Rick Sampal. And I also want you guys to know that it's Rick's birthday today. Yeah. So awesome. And if Nelson's here, we also want to recognize Nelson. Nelson. No, he is not here. That's the Nelson we know. All right. Awesome. From Koinonia, we also want to recognize Solomon and Annie once again for their work. Come on up, you guys. Yay. Thanks. Yeah, there you go. Both just, yeah. More books for you, Solomon. Yes, I know you need it. And then, of course, from staff, we want to recognize Pastor Roy and Angel and just the work that they've been doing. They are actually moving aside, so he's going to give himself. All right. All right. I also want to recognize next, but also very exciting, that there's some newcomers, new blood, so to speak, into our youth ministry and our young adult ministry. I want to start with Koinonia. John and Pauline G., if you guys are here. Yeah. John will represent for Pauline, of course. And then Joey and Siv Fern Ng. Yeah, come on up, guys. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's, yeah. Okay, let's see. I got this long list here. And then, you know, I'm super excited. We have KK. I'm not going to pronounce her last name. Who's KK is joining New Life. So let's give KK a hand, too. Yeah. KKP, KKK. All right. And then we are also, I'm actually pretty excited and really thankful for this guy, Donnie True, who is actually stepping up to lead it. Okay, so Donnie, can you come on up? That's a huge role for this brother right here. It's a huge role for this brother. So Donnie does a lot for our church. And now, you know, if you guys have any problems with the high school ministry, right there, okay? All right, that's Yutro. And I want to recognize Quang Nguyen. Quang. Q-tip. Yeah. And then I also want to recognize Lisa Chu. All right, Lisa? Yeah. Now, Quang and Lisa have, for so many years, faithfully served in our college ministry, and they've recently said goodbye to that and moved on up to be counselors in our STEPS group. And so that is going to be super exciting for them. And so I really appreciate them. And then lastly but not least, I want to just recognize the people who are not going anywhere. They're staying put. I am honored to be working with a quiet guy who's just passionate and kind-hearted, Herman Ng. So if Herman can come on up. Yeah, Herman. And of course, I want to just recognize the prettiest counselor out there, Julie Doe, if she can come on up. And she's staying with New Life. Woo! All right, Julie's staying with New Life. Herman is continuing to work with our Challengers group. And I'm pretty excited for that. Did I forget anything else? No? Oh, me. Oh, yeah. For me, actually, I've spent last 4 years working with our high school group. And this year, I'll be stepping down and working with our junior high group. And last Friday, we had about 15 to 20 kids. I'm tired already, but I'm just super excited. Those guys are really crazy. So I'm looking for a lot of beatdowns. No, but I'm looking forward to that. So thank you, all these folks here. Why don't we just open in prayer and start in prayer and give this year to the Lord. So, Father, we stand before you. I stand just so grateful for my brothers and sisters behind us and the work and the sacrifice and the love that they have poured out through the years. Jesus, I know that we can't do nothing on our own, but that's through the blood of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit we walk together. And, Father, it's in this community that I find the most refreshment and refreshing times together. Father, because I look at their lives and I look at all the struggles and the things that they must juggle, yet they still find time to pour themselves out for the sake of others. And Father, that's always been the kingdom. It's always been how you build your kingdom. It's upon the hearts and love of ordinary people. And so I thank you for everyone here. As we serve together, as we walk together, as we look forward to another year, Jesus, may you be the center of our lives and be the center of our ministry. That in all things that we do together, may we point each other to the person and work of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, who is forever our Savior, our King. And Father, until that day when we ultimately celebrate it together with you in the presence of our God. And so let us run this race. Let us walk together. Let us not be weary of doing good because you see it all. And help us, Father, pray for one another and encourage each other as a church so that together we can grow disciples of Jesus Christ. And so, God, today we honor these brothers and sisters. Lord, I know that you love them more than anything. May you speak to us and may you guide us as we go forth from this place and to another year. We love you, God, and we thank you. In Christ's name, amen. And we all here want to just encourage you guys, if you have a heart for young people, if you have a heart for any kind of ministry and you want to be plugged in, come and talk to any one of us because we love to talk with you. Okay, so let's give them a hand one more time. Thanks, guys. All right. Well, you know, for the month of August, we've been talking a lot about the foundational pillars of what makes the Christian and Missionary Alliance Church, the DNA, so to speak, of what we build our ministry upon, not only for our denomination, but especially for our church. And we call that the fourfold gospel. And the fourfold gospel speaks of Christ as what? Savior, sanctifier, healer, and coming king. Now, that is one of the clearest Christological statements that is out there, and one of the foundational pillars that represents the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so this past month, we talked about how Jesus saved us. and how he died on the cross, and how he bought on his own body the salvation for which we stand. And when we spoke also of how he actively now, through the Holy Spirit, is alive and working in our hearts to make us holy, to sanctify us, to build us so that we can become the image of Christ. And then Pastor Durkee, I don't know if I wish I was here, but I know that he shared how even our physical bodies are subjected to the will of God and to what he is doing, because Christ is also our healer. And then last week we saw how the culmination of our salvation, the culmination of our hopes and our dreams and our longings are found in what? In the certain and soon return of Jesus Christ, because he is our coming Lord. And so the question I want to end this series with today, and I want to actually challenge us and begin to process this together, how do we respond to this fourfold gospel? How do we respond to Christ as our Savior, Healer, Sanctifier, and coming King? What do we do as brothers and sisters? And how are we to live in this light? And more importantly, how will this church reflect these things that we so strongly embrace? And I believe today, if I can share anything with you, that the only logical and the only right response to all that Jesus has done and continues to do on our behalf is that Christ must become our focus. That Jesus Christ must be the center and the central point to which we point and live our lives. See, the fourfold gospel says clearly one thing, actually two things. One thing that it says to me, that Christ is clearly focused on us. That Jesus, that everything he does, everything he did on earth and now does in heaven, he does on our behalf for the glory of God the Father. He sees us and our needs, and he intercedes for us. And so Jesus Christ is always focused on us. The second thing that the fourfold gospel points out to me is that we are indeed, if we're true to ourselves and understand this truth, is that we are completely helpless to do anything. We are completely helpless in the sense that there is nothing we could do in our own strength and energy and power to gain right standing with God. We are helpless. And on the face of this helplessness, Christ comes and he rescues. That is the truth of the gospel. And so the only logical response then, what can we do? What can we do? The only thing we can do is to give love in return for the love that we have received, and to focus our lives upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, Scripture speaks passionately to the Christ-focused life. It speaks passionately about this. And there are two passages which I want you guys to turn to and maybe put your finger in one. And the first passage is 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. If you have your Bibles, please turn there first. And then put your fingers in the second passage, which is found in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 3. So 1 John 3 and Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. So let's get into this here. So 1 John chapter 3. Verses 1 to 3, this is what John writes. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now that we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared as yet what we will be, we know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And verse 3 says, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Now switch over to Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Famous passage here. Hebrews 12, 1 to 3. The author writes, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Powerful passages. Now, both the Apostle John and the author of Hebrews are writing to people under similar circumstances. Both are writing to encourage those who are undergoing severe trials and persecution. And both are trying to warn against the danger of falling away from the faith. All over the two letters, you hear, beware, do not fall away. And both are urging the believers to remember the words and the deeds of Christ, which alone can save them. And then here in our passages, both call on the church to respond to this overflowing display of God's love and his work in our lives by what? By fixing our eyes on God. By fixing our eyes on Christ. And so in essence, the two passages are similar because it's calling us to live this Christ-focused life. Though there's much in these passages, there's so much in here, I want to focus today on two verses, one from each of our passages. The verse in 1 John 3 is in verse 3 where he writes, "And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure." And the verse in Hebrews 12 is found in verse 2, and where it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." So there we go. Those two verses I want to talk about. And so we start out with two definitions. I want to begin with two definitions. There are two words that are there are two different Greek words that are translated fixed in the New Testament, and they are found in our two passages here. The first one, the word fixed in 1 John 3:3 refers to the placement of our hopes. The placement of our hopes. See, here's something that's kind of interesting. The word itself, the word fixed itself, is actually not here in the Greek. Verse 3 literally reads this way, "And everyone who has this hope upon him." So the English translators, when they try to clarify the sentences, add in the word fixed. So the truth is this, that hope always has to have an object. And we understand that. And what that object, what is the object of our hope, what that object is, makes all the difference in the world. And what is the hope that John refers to in his epistle? It is the hope that he previously talked about in verse 1, where he talks about the return of Jesus Christ and the transformation that Jesus will bring in the last day. And so John is saying, look, this is the hope that we have. This is the hope that we can bank our lives upon. It is the culmination and the fulfillment of our faith that we spoke about last week. And so the obvious question to ask then is, where does your hope lie? Where do we put our hope? It's kind of a weird question, isn't it? Hope always has to have an object. So what is it? What is it that we hope for? Do we hope to retire well? Do we hope to do well in school? Do we hope to have a great marriage? So upon those things, we need to ask ourselves, where lies our ultimate hope? What captivates our hearts? That's the better question, isn't it? What is it that our heart is longing for? Whatever it is, if we can define it, we can define our focus. And the second word is found in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. The word "let us fix," that verbal phrase there, means the continual act of directing our attention to an object without distractions. You guys get that? It is the continual act, a continual act of directing our attention to an object without distraction. See, what this word carries with it, this sense of being alert, of being focused, of having a single-minded concentration. So there's a lot of things in life that distracts us. There's a lot of things in life that distracts us. So moment by moment, we must discipline ourselves to keep our eyes and our heart on the person of Jesus Christ. Now you may be thinking, come on now, right? It is impossible to think of Christ every single stinking moment of the day. And I thought about that last night, and I said, yeah, you know, that is true. That is true. It's difficult to think about one thing all day long. I think it's difficult, but I think it is not impossible. And here's my take on it. You see, every single moment of my day, I'm aware of my needs. I know when I'm hungry. I know when I'm sleepy. I know when I need to go to the bathroom. I know when I'm too hot, or when I'm too cold, or angry, or joyful. Every single moment of my day, I'm aware of everything around my body and the things that I'm thinking inside and I'm feeling outside. And so the question is, if I'm so conscious of my own needs at any given moment, can I not be aware and conscious of Christ and His presence in the same way? Can I not be aware of Christ and His presence in the same way, just as I am aware of my own needs? So I want to change the word from thinking. It is not about thinking about Christ, but rather being aware of His presence in our lives. And that awareness makes all the difference. Because He is everywhere and He is at all time with us. We need to learn to be aware of how He leaves His fingerprints and His mark in our lives. So from these two definitions, I want to pose before you two applications which I hope to encourage and walk with you together. The first application is this: if we are seriously about focusing our lives on Christ, the first thing we need to do is that we need to study Him. We need to study about Christ. 1 John 3:3 says this: and everyone who has his hope fixed on Him purifies himself. He adds, just as He is pure. And what about Hebrews 12:2? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning His shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Did you notice that? Before the exhortation to purify yourself, before the exhortation to fix our eyes on Christ, notice the facts that the author writes concerning Christ and His character and His deed. So the motivation to focus on Christ must come from our knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And how do we come upon that knowledge? That knowledge comes to us by study. It comes to us by a focus upon the life and the character of our Savior and Lord. Now you must understand that our study of Christ cannot be simply an academic exercise. Simply cannot be just learning everything you need to know about the facts of Jesus Christ. Our study must cultivate an ever-increasing awareness of Christ and His presence in our life. Our study, if it's going to be good study, if it's going to be an impactful study, must create an awareness of Jesus Christ in our lives. What do I mean by that? Like a photographer who, having studied lighting, becomes sensitive to the contrasting colors in a picture. Or how about a cook who, after years of practice, have learned to differentiate ingredients by simply taste and smell? Or how about a musician, having played for so many years, understand the nuances between the different notes? So too, as we study and meditate and examine the life of Jesus Christ, we can come to a place where we are aware and be sensitive to His fingerprints upon our lives, upon the world around us, and we become more in touch, so to speak, to the divine presence that I know walks with us and is living in us. So let us study in such a way that every word and act and characteristic of our Savior, Jesus Christ, becomes ingrained in our souls and tattooed upon our hearts. Let us become sensitive to the fingerprints of Christ. Now, study is not enough. So the second application I pose before you, if we're serious that we're going to focus our lives on Christ, we must learn to copy him. We must learn to copy him. See, for John, he says, because Jesus himself is pure, we should purify ourselves. How about the writer of Hebrews? Because Jesus placed his hope in God, we should fix our eyes on him. Do you see the pattern there? Because Jesus did this, we ought to do this. And what for Peter, he would write in his epistle, because God is holy, so be holy in all that you do. Whatever God is, let us copy him. It is more than what Jesus, what would Jesus do? It's to walk following what Jesus did. See, disciples are more than just learners. Disciples are marked by a life of obedience to the one on whom they have chosen to fix their eyes. Any educator will tell you that the sign that someone has truly grasped a concept is what? That they can apply that concept to their lives given any circumstances. The Apostle John, earlier in his epistle in 1 John, he puts it this way. Whoever claims to live in him that's in Christ must walk as Jesus did. So basically, that is just a black and white statement, isn't it? If you say you have Jesus Christ in you, then you must walk like he did. And how did Jesus walk? Goes back to study. How did Jesus walk? And so there, we're calling a generation of men and women to become disciples of Jesus Christ. As we start this year, as we begin this journey this year, let us become disciples ourselves. Let us say, to what and to whom have we fixed our eyes upon in our own life? Let us settle that question before we can help each other and settle their questions. So therefore, since Christ so saved us, since he sanctifies us, since he is our healer and our soon coming king, what else can we do? What else can we do but focus our lives on him? And this focus means to study his life and his character and his actions and attributes. And from studying his life and actions, let us copy him in obedience. And I love how Dr. A.B. Simpson puts it. The quote's in your outline there. And he says, the secret of a Christ-like life lies partly in a deep longing for it. The secret of a Christ-like life lies partly in the deep longing for it. So the question that always haunts me, what is it that I long for? What is the deep longing of my heart? If we can define what it is, we have found our focus. Do you long for Jesus? Do you long for him and for his word to be real in your life? To be real in your thoughts and actions? And do you long for the fullness of Jesus Christ to live his life in you? And so this week has been kind of difficult for me, at least. I hate speaking messages that are so convicting. And it really is for me this week. And I spend some time reflecting on my own life and asking myself, how am I respond to these truths? And to be honest with you, the picture is not nearly as good as I would like it to be. Honestly, I am too easily distracted. That's why I think I'm going to be just fine in Challengers. I am easily distracted. 1 second I'm here, another second I'm there. My mind moves like crazy. I am distracted by other things, by habitual sins in my life, by the striving after the comfortable things or the business that ministry demands. I'm easily distracted. I'm far from where I want to be. And more times than I care to admit, Jesus Christ is not my focus. He is far from my focus. Maybe he's like third or fourth or fifth. And in many subtle ways, And the older I get, the more I recognize, in many subtle ways, the focus has been my pride. Has been my pride. Constantly, I recognize this, that I'm striving to be self-sufficient. I'm striving for recognition among people. And I know that pride leaves no room for God. And you know what Jesus' answer to pride is? You know what Jesus' answer to pride is? You'd be surprised. A lot of times he breaks people, right? And I see stories and I hear stories and that scares me. That is a harsh response. But I like this response. God's answer to pride is a bread that's broken and a wine that's poured out. A body that's broken and the blood that is shed on a cross. And he opens the table before us and he invites us to come. There's no pride at the Lord's table. And so today, we observe communion together as a family. And this table is open to any and all of you who have asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior. You have received the baptism that he asked us to do. This table is for you. But let us come before this table and ask ourselves the hard question, to what is my life focus? And as we hold the element in our hand, ask that question, examine your heart. To what are the things that my heart has been captured by? To what are the things that I'm striving after? And as we partake of these elements, let the cry from our soul be the one cry that says, cry, God, be the center, be my focus, be my life, and be my light. So Jesus, we come to your table today. And we come, Lord, not because we deserve it, but simply because of grace. And the kind invitation of a God who came to us, gave his body, broken his bread, his blood poured out his wine, so that we might understand what it means to live a focused life, a life focused on the one who gave us life. So God, I just thank you because I know, Father, that all of us here, we're on the same boat. We're all easily distracted. So as partake of this communion time, Spirit of God, would you come and would you heal our hearts that we might be made whole, that we might be healed. We love you, Jesus. In Christ's name.